Good morning, brothers and sisters. Today we celebrate Gaudete Sunday, the third Sunday of Advent. Of course, the word means rejoice. It's a Latin word for rejoice because that is the first word of the Mass in the opening antiphon. And we're called to rejoice on this third Sunday of Advent because Christ is so close. We've made it through the hurdle. We're most of the way through this preparatory season. So Christ is coming very soon. Lit the second to last candle. And I think to help guide us in our reflection about the church's call to rejoice, it would be important to talk about the first person to officially rejoice at Christ coming into the world. Now, I'm sure the Blessed Mother rejoiced when she heard, so, you know, we're going to set her aside because the Bible doesn't actually talk about her joy. But the first person to actually experience joy at the coming of Christ, as it's written down in the scriptures, and to express that joy was John the Baptist in his mother's womb. What did Elizabeth say when Mary came to her home and greeted her? She said, "At the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed are you who believed the angel's words." So John, in fact, was the first, appropriately so, to rejoice at the coming of Christ. It makes sense because the prophecy that the angel Gabriel gave to Zechariah about the miraculous conception of his son John was that John would herald the coming of the Lord. And a herald is always the one to precede the king, the Lord, and let everybody know he's coming. John did this even while in the womb. The moment the Blessed Mother entered into Elizabeth's presence and said, "Hi, cousin Elizabeth, how are you?" John was immediately filled with the grace of the Holy Spirit. Our Lord, in the womb of his mother, consecrates John in the womb of his mother, and John rejoices. And then Elizabeth says, "How could this happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. We can understand how John can rejoice. He was filled with the Holy Spirit by this miraculous gift, and it's his mission, his calling. So even in the womb, even though he can't speak yet, he physically reacts to the presence of the Lord. Now, he can't see Jesus, and yet he knows, spiritually speaking, his presence. But how does Elizabeth know that Mary is pregnant with the Messiah? I mean, she says it. Basically, the baby in her womb just kicks very violently, and suddenly she's like, "Oh, the Messiah must be here." And she looks around. I mean, how could she have known? The scriptures do say that she was filled with the Holy Spirit, but many people mistakenly assume that the Holy Spirit just kind of like whispered in her ear, "Oh, by the way, you know, your cousin who's here right now, she's pregnant with Jesus." No, that's not how the Holy Spirit works. Thomas Aquinas teaches us that grace builds on nature. And so there had to be some natural readiness for Elizabeth to recognize the presence of the Christ by this leaping of her unborn child. And what was it? What enabled Elizabeth to recognize through the grace of the Holy Spirit that Mary had to have been pregnant with the Christ? And the simple reason is meditation. Elizabeth, especially for the last 9 months, or 6 months at this point, in which she's been pregnant with this miraculous child, has been meditating on the Word of God consistently. So imagine, if you will, you've been barren your whole life. You're now way past childbearing years. And suddenly, your husband comes home mute, can't speak. He was just at the temple worshiping. And he writes out to her, "Guess what happened to me yesterday?" "It's in the temple offering incense, and an angel of the Lord appeared to me." So he would have communicated to Elizabeth exactly what had happened and the prophecy that Gabriel gave. that they would conceive a son, and that son would be named John, and this child would prepare the way of the Lord. He would bring about the conversion of the people of Israel and herald in the Christ. Now, if you are a barren woman and you realize you're going to miraculously conceive a child, and this child is going to be unique among children, Jesus said he's the greatest man born of woman. Greatest man born of woman. As a mother, you're going to be thinking about that constantly. Constantly, day after day, night after night, meditating on the words of the angel. You're going to be reflecting on what kind of child this will be and how God is going to use him in the salvation of Israel. So Elizabeth knew. For 6 months now, she's been meditating on the words of the angel Gabriel, the words of God. And so the moment her child reacts, you know how mothers, you ladies, you know, you can kind of sense things that the rest of us can't. You know, it's a unique grace God has given you with your children, even in the womb. So the moment her child reacts, John had probably been very quiet and unresponsive for 6 months. Suddenly, out of nowhere, he's freaking out in the womb. Woo, really excited. She's wondering what's going on here. Now, she's been in her home. The scriptures say she kept herself isolated in her home during this whole time. She's got some servants. She and Zachariah were actually quite wealthy. So the only people she's been around were maybe a few family members and her servants. Now, she knows this child in her womb is going to herald the Messiah. So the moment he starts reacting, rejoicing, jumping, as she describes it, she knows something has changed. Something is different. And so she would have looked around and immediately recognized the only thing that's changed in my house in the last couple of months is my cousin Mary. My 16-year-old cousin Mary has come to visit me to help me with my pregnancy. And since her unborn child, she knew, would herald the Christ, she knew Christ had to be present. But she didn't see him. Elizabeth doesn't see Jesus anywhere. But she knows he has to be born. The Old Testament prophecies say he'll be born of a virgin. So through all those months of meditation, with the grace of the Holy Spirit, she puts two and two together, and she realizes, you must be the mother, the chosen one. You must be pregnant. And if this miraculous virginal birth has taken place, then the same angel that spoke to my husband must have come to you. Unlike my husband, you believed him, right? Because you can speak to me. She said, hello. Everything Elizabeth said makes perfect sense if we consider her meditation on the word of God delivered through the angel Gabriel. And it was this meditation that not only enabled her to rejoice with her son, but even to recognize Christ in her midst, even though she couldn't see him with her eyes. We're supposed to rejoice as well. Now, we who have known Christ our whole lives, or most of our lives, we've never seen him, not once. Even in his Eucharistic presence, he is constantly veiled. Just looks like bread. If we want to truly rejoice at the presence of Christ in our life, this nearness of the Lord, then we need to do what Elizabeth did, what all of the great saints have done for thousands of years, is meditate on the word of God. And if we do that to the best of our ability, then as we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we will be able to recognize his presence and rejoice in the fact that our Lord has come to us. Without meditation, it is not possible to find joy in this world of suffering and sin. It's not possible. Why do you think in all governments, in all areas of politics, They work so hard to try to fix the problems of society. Because everybody's saddened and depressed and frustrated with problems, and they want to try to resolve them to make life better. But no human attempt can fix the problems of our lives. Only the Messiah. Only the one who can forgive us of our sins and restore us to grace. Now, I'm not saying we don't strive and work to improve our society and the way we care for one another. Certainly, we should do that. Christ says so. Even John in our gospel today tells all of the people who are coming to him that if you really want to be ready for the Christ when he comes, what do you need to do? Stop breaking the law. Follow the moral rules. Don't sin anymore. If we really want to help improve this world, forget politics. Rejoice at the presence of Christ in your life, and with his grace, be forgiven of and turn from sin. We've seen this time and time again through the great saints. Even Mother Teresa, for all the great good she did throughout the world in caring for the poor and the needy, what did she famously say to the UN Council when they tried to give her the humanitarian award? They basically would give one of these out a year at the greatest humanitarian at that time. So this is Mother Teresa. Obviously, she's the greatest humanitarian in the world for many years. So there's no doubt. So the UN's like, yes, we're going to give you this Medal of Honor. And so she goes, and she refuses it. She says, no, I won't accept it. And they said, you know, Mother Teresa, why won't you accept this honor? You clearly worked hard, and you deserve it, and you're a model to all of us. And this will help encourage others to love their neighbor as you have. And Mother Teresa said, I'm not a humanitarian. That's what she said to them. So therefore, I can't receive the reward. And they said, if you're not a humanitarian, then what are you? She says, I'm a Christian. I don't do this for humanity. I do this for Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.